We're going to go over to my back office so I can see who's calling in on the other platform. We are now on 7 different platforms throughout the world. God has blessed us. We are on Twitter, and we are also on blog.com. We also broadcast, as you know, on Facebook Live, on YouTube. We also broadcast on Reddit, and we also broadcast on Tumblr. So we're trying to make the platform extensive as is possible so that everybody can actually see what's going on. So I'm going to go over to the back office here and see if we can get on, and that way we can unmute everyone's mic who calls in on TalkShoe. So if I'm if it seems I'm multitasking, it's because I am. And I appreciate all of the people that are instant messaging me. It seems like everybody starts instant messaging me right at the time of my broadcast. I guess they think it's the only time they can get my attention. It looks like Brother Carl Roberts is already with us. Welcome aboard, Brother Carl. Good to see you with us tonight.
Hey, Brother Larry. It's good to be with you guys.
Good. Good to have you on board as well. Well, I'm going to turn it over to Mark's got some scripture he wants to read before we get started. Then we're going to sing a couple hymns and a psalm. And so I'm going to turn the camera around so people can see Mark Kennedy. Welcome aboard as well. And I want to thank Michael, Howard, Robert, and Mark, and all the other people that are joining us this evening.
Hosea 12, 1 through 6. Ephraim feedeth on wind and falleth after the east wind. He daily increases lies and desolation. They do make a covenant with the Syrians and oil is carried into Egypt. The Lord hath also controversy with Judah and punished Jacob according to his ways, according to his doings, and will recompense him. He took his brother from the heel and the womb, and by his strength he had power with God. Yea, he had power over the angel and prevailed. He wept and made supplication of him. He found him in Bethel, and there he spake with us. Even the Lord God opposed, the Lord is his memorial. Therefore turn thou to thy God, keep mercy and judgment, and wait on thy God for family.
Very good. Good scripture, Mark. Where was that found again?
Hosea 1.
All right. That's all right. Hosea, the first chapter.
Hosea
12,
1 through 6.
Okay, Hosea, the 12th chapter, 1 through 6. Very good. Okay, the first hymn we're going to sing tonight is taken out of the old school hymnal. And it's 273, and it's entitled, I Love the Sons of Grace. Mark, you want to start that?
I love the sons of grace, the heirs of bliss divine, who walk in paths of righteousness and fly from every sin. They will my faults reprove when heedlessly I err. How do I prize their faithful love, their kind and tender care? They Jesus' image bear. How lovely is the sight! They shall at length with him appear in everlasting life. They love the Father's name, and they gladly do his will. They humbly follow Christ the Lamb in righteousness and zeal.
Okay, we're going to also sing 136. 136. Wonderful Jesus. Wonderful Jesus. Mark, you want to start that?
Wonderful
Jesus, glorious friend.
He will be with me unto the end, cheering upon me,
keeping us strong,
fearless and loyal, shielding from wrong. Wonderful Jesus, marvelous King, ever his praise my spirit shall sing. When I behold his glorified face, how I shall praise his wonderful grace. Wonderful Jesus showing the way into the blessed kingdom of day, guiding my footsteps, holding control, making me happy, keeping me whole. Wonderful Jesus, all through the night, he will enfold me, giving me light. Then when the morning breaks on the shore, this he will whisper, mine evermore. Wonderful Jesus, marvelous King, ever his praise my spirit shall sing. When I behold his glorified face, how I shall praise his wonderful grace.
Okay, the last one we're going to sing is a psalm taken out of the Psalter. I like singing the psalms. We're told in Scripture to sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And that's what we're doing tonight. Mark, you want to start that?
Oh, greatly blessed is the man who walketh not astray in counsel of ungodly men, nor stands in sinners' way, nor sitteth in a scorner's chair, but places his delight upon God's law and meditates on his law day and night. He shall be like a tree that grows, set by the water side, which in its season yields its fruit, and green its leaves abide. And all he does shall prosper well. The wicked are not so, but are like chaff which by the wind is driven to and fro. In judgment therefore shall not stand such as the godly are, nor in the assembly of the just shall wicked men appear, because the way of godly men is to the Lord known, whereas the way of wicked men shall quite be overthrown.
Well, thank you again, everyone who joins us on TalkShoe as well as Facebook Live, and glad to have you with us this evening. George Hill, Teresa, Mark, Michael, Howard, Robert, all of you and the rest that will be joining us shortly. We actually don't officially start until 6 o'clock, but we've already started recording, and Brother Carl is with us, and Brother Mark is with us, and so we might as well just go ahead and get started. I'm trying to unmute Brother Mark's mic, and he's telling me to check my connection, my internet connection. I'm hoping, there we go. How you doing, Brother Mark?
Very good, very good.
Had a little glitch there momentarily. And Brother Carl, are you still with us?
Yes, sir. Hey there, Brother Mark Kennedy. How are you? Hey there, Sister Rosette, Brother Mark Phillips as well.
Wonderful, Brother Carl. God bless you.
And welcome to you as well, Babs. We want to make sure we don't forget Babs as well, who's with us tonight. So, we've got a lot on our plate tonight, guys. A little bit. We may not be able to get through this whole chapter. We may have to just do half the chapter. Yeah, it's one of the longest chapters in the book.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, the best part is the last. It's kind of like Jesus Christ when he turned the water into wine, you know. For them, he put the best wine first. Well, this is the best wine is last in this chapter. It's all good, but
yeah.
So I'd like to get through it if we can. Mark has agreed to help read as well, so I figure if all four of us read, it's about 17 pages, so it's about 4.5 pages per person. So I think I'm going to let Mark start tonight, Mark Phillips.
Okay.
And so, Mark, if you'll start in chapter 28 and read from 228 down to the bottom of 231.
Do what?
228 down to the bottom of 231.
Okay. Chapter 28, the golden chain of salvation. The book of Romans is a doctrinal treaty on the sovereignty of God and salvation. No other book in the Bible is more clear or more redundant regarding the subject. Paul begins by affirming that virtually all the events that he is addressing was foreordained by God. Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised before by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations, for his name among whom are ye also the called Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, and called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father, from the Lord Jesus Christ. First I thank my God, Jesus Christ, for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world, Romans 1:1-8. The apostle then begins to talk about the gospel and shows the contrast of those who are reprobates who hold the truth and unrighteousness and serve the creatures or their creators. So as much as in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God and the salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God has showed it unto them, for the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, to change the truth of God to a lie of worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one for another, men with men, working in that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God and their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient.
That's good. Thank you.
Yeah.
Well, we've all heard this read many, many times. And, you know, it makes a lot of doctrinal things are tied up in this passage.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much here, but I'm going to give the short version, and then I'll have Brother Mark and Brother Carl follow up. But, you know, I think that Paul says he's separated under the gospel of God. Okay? Separated under the gospel of God, which he had promised afore by his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his son Jesus Christ our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh, and declared to be the Son of God with power according to Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Now, you know, it's interesting because by Paul affirming that all events that he is addressing were foreordained by God is a real good foundation to start on.
And
he gives all the glory and credit to Jesus Christ. He says, by whom we have received grace and apostleship. Well, he then begins to talk about the gospel and shows in contrast to those who are reprobates and hold the truth in unrighteousness and serve the creature over the creator. And no, I don't know who are reprobates. That's God's business. But he gives some evidences of those who manifest reprobate activity. Says middle part of page 230, because that which may be known of God is manifested in them, for God has shown it unto them. The invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. Interesting how he goes back to the creation.
Yeah.
You know, and we talked about biblical cosmology here. You know, invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made. And it even says that we can see his eternal power and Godhead, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit exhibited in the works of his creation. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And we know what that resulted in, and it resulted in the utmost utter perversion of what we have with us today in the perverse lifestyle of sodomy. And many of you know how I had to go through 5 years in a federal case over this very issue we're talking about right now, when I refused to place children with sodomites. And I refuse to license sodomites. But I'm not going to go down that rabbit trail tonight. But it says, being filled with unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God. And it also says that they're without natural affection. Knowing the judgment of God, they that which commit such things are worthy of death. Not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And we see that. We see most of our Senate and most of our House of Representatives today are endorsing and upholding a sodomite lifestyle. They may not be sodomized themselves, but they support it.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the Apostle Paul makes it really clear there. So I'm going to stop there, and I'm going to have Brother Mark Kennedy. Now, what I want you to do, Mark, is make any comments from 228 down to 231, and then I'll have you start up on the top page of 232 and read down through 32, 33, 34, down to the bottom of probably 236, and then we'll have Brother Carl pick up there.
Very good. Well, I'll say God bless to all of our saints listening in to where you to here tonight, wherever you may be. I pray that God meets you at the point of your need, whatever that need may be. God bless you. All right.
Before you start, Before you start, I want to jump in and let everyone on Facebook know the reason I'm not responding to your messages while I'm broadcasting is that I need to stay on the TalkShoe desktop, because if I leave it, sometimes I lose my connection. So I'm not ignoring you. I see that Michael has messaged me, and I will make sure that I respond I'm no longer on the TalkShoe platform, because in the past I've tried to switch back and forth and I've lost my connection. So I don't want to do that tonight. So anybody that's coming on board, you're all welcome. We're glad to have you all aboard, and we will try to respond to your messages. And Brother Mark Kennedy does a good job of helping me on that. So go ahead, Brother Mark.
Okay. Yes, I love the way Paul starts here in the first verse of Romans. That reminds me of one of the other ones in one of his writings in the New Testament, where it says Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, not the will of man. I forget which one that is right at the moment, but at any rate, I love how Paul starts this. And then he goes into the prophecy of Jesus Christ coming through the line of David. You know, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh and declared to be the Son of God with power according to the Spirit of holiness. So it's wonderful how that prophecy was fulfilled through the line of David, and Paul refers back to it in designating it a wonderful work of God. It's wonderful. Let's see.
Yeah, I need to interrupt you again. We lost our connection with Facebook.
I noticed that.
So I'm going to go ahead and restart it up. I imagine that's what people have been trying to tell me.
Okay.
Michael says the sodomites have stopped the broadcast. I wouldn't doubt that either, but let me see if we can get back in.
Okay.
Sometimes when I try to simulcast, we've had challenges like this before. Hopefully we won't lose our TalkShoe. Okay, we're back in TalkShoe now, and hopefully the guests will come back. And I'll go back over to go ahead, brother. Sorry to interrupt you.
Oh, no, that's all right. We got to deal with these technical issues. But anyway, I was just saying how I love the beginning of this, and it reminds me of the beginning of one of the other writings of his where he says about how Paul called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, not by the will of man, and then how he goes into the lineage of David, or of Christ being prophesied coming through the line of David, and how it fulfills prophecy from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And then he shows, and then he starts talking about, we have received grace and apostleship for obedience, and he goes into talking about all the saints that are in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, and wishing, the benediction of grace and peace from God to them. And so then he starts talking about the gospel and shows, that contrast of those who are, reprobates, which is unapproved by God, how they suppress the truth of God, as it says in Scripture, holding the truth in unrighteousness and glorifying the creature over the Creator, who is forever praised. Amen. And then he talks about, he's not ashamed of the power. The Greek word dunamis, from which we get our English word dynamite, the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believes, Jews and then Gentiles, the Greeks also, which are Gentiles. And so that's a wonderful beginning to this chapter in the book. And then he starts talking about, and then he's got Martin Luther's verse, "The just shall live by faith." I love that. And then he talks about the wrath of God being revealed from heaven against ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who, here we have the same action, suppressing the truth in unrighteousness. Man in his natural carnal state is, you know, as it says in Romans 8, the carnal mind is fighting against God, is enmity against God, and it will not submit to the law of God. The carnal mind cannot submit to the law of God. So he's referencing that. And then the invisible things from the creation of the world are clearly seen by the things that are made, even his eternal power. So by this creation, unregenerate mankind knows that God exists, and he has no excuse to suppress that truth. But they do it anyway. And so God has turned them over to a reprobate mind and vain imaginations to do which should not be done, the works of darkness. Yep, here it is at the bottom of 231. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. So that's my thoughts right at the moment. The writings of Paul are some of my favorite in the New Testament.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I concur with that 100%. Well, we're going to turn it over to Brother Carl Roberts and have him give his explanation of these four pages.
All right. Yes, sir. Yeah, it sure is a lot here. There is a lot here. So starting with Romans chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, the gospel here referred to in verse 1 is the gospel, it's the gospel of Jesus Christ that was promised in the Old Testament that's going to save Jew and Gentile, all men. And if we notice here, the book of Romans is written to the church of Rome, which was made up of Gentiles. This is what Paul is referring to. And it says, which he has promised beforehand by his prophets in the Holy Scripture. Well, we read in Hosea chapter 1, verse 10, the King James Version only, verse 10, Hosea 1, yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, you are not my people, there it shall be said unto them, you are the sons of the living God. So Jew and Gentile here, the gospel going forth to the Gentiles that God promised to save in the Old Testament scriptures. Concerning his son, Jesus Christ, verse 3, concerning his son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, which was made of the seed of David according to the flesh. Well, we can go back to Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, to the first prophecy of Christ. It says in verse 15, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And we're also told in 49 by Jacob, I believe, on his deathbed, Genesis 49, verse 10, the scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet until Shiloh come, and unto him shall the gathering of the people be. Down in Romans chapter 1, verse 5 here, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to faith among all the nations for his name. Again here is the language of Jew and Gentile in all nations. In Romans 1:16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. This is the gospel of the gospel is the power of God for salvation to everyone that believes, Jew and Gentile. This is the language of John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, whosoever should believe in him, Jew or Gentile, shall have everlasting life. And this verse is effectual, talking about the believing ones. You know, we're told in John chapter 10, verse 16, and other sheep I have, not of this fold, Christ referring to the Gentiles. And this is the gospel that Paul is referring to, that God promised to save all men, both Jew and Gentile. And in Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, yeah, we see what happens when people exchange the truth of God for a lie. And, you know, we're told in John chapter 17, when Christ prays for us, he says, sanctify them with truth. Thy word is truth. So when we exchange the truth of God, which is his word, for a lie, and decide we're going to worship God the way that we want to and come before God the way we want to and take and add to his word and exercise our free will, he will give it to us. And he will let us exercise our free will. And when God takes his hand off of a people, he gives them over to a reprobate mind, because that's our natural state, is reprobate sin. And that's our default position without the hand of God on us. And this is what we see in chapter 1, verses 18 through 32, God giving people over, exercising their free will, whether it's biblical cosmology or predestination and election and denying God's sovereignty. God will give you over to yourself. And this is what happens to us when he does. And that's it for now.
Okay. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. I guess, Mark, you're up for reading. So we'll go ahead and let you start in there where Mark left off, which is at the top of 232. And why don't we read down? Why don't you go ahead and read down to? We'll have you read four pages down to the bottom of page 235.
Okay, very good. Very good, very good. Just wanted to say one thing before I start. Yes, that's right. What Brother Carl said is exactly right. And we've got these people in churches today that are no more saved than stones. They've convinced themselves in their own delusional mind that they accepted Christ and that their eternal situation is okay, but they're heading down the river toward the Niagara Falls in a barrel, and they're not even looking out for danger. It's very sad. Okay. Start at the bottom of the last sentence on 231, then move on. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. Now we're on 232, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding. Boy, you can say that again. Covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same thing, but have pleasure in them that do them. Romans 1, 15 to 20, Romans chapter 1, verse 15 to 32. The Apostle Paul also make it clear that those who are true Christians are those who have been born again by the Spirit of God, and that their physical makeup is not relevant to their spiritual condition. For he is not a Jew which is one outwardly, neither is that circumcision which is outward in the flesh, but he is a Jew which is one inwardly, and the circumcision is that of the heart in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men but of God. Romans 2, verses 28 and 29. In the third chapter, the Apostle Paul shows that both Jew and Gentile have not sought after God, and none are righteous. No, not one. And works circumcision and the law does not save. He shows that God's people have been freely justified by his grace through the blood of Christ. As it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They are all gone out of the way. They are together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good. No, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues, they have used deceit. The poison of asps is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their ways, and the way of peace have they not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and that all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ, unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God has set forth to be a propitiation through faith in his blood, to declare his righteousness for the remission of sins that are past, through the forbearance of God, to declare, I say, at this time his righteousness, that he might be just and the justifier of him which believeth in Jesus. Where is boasting then? It is excluded by what law? Of works? Nay, but by the law of faith. And therefore we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. Is he the God of the Jews only? Is he not also of the Gentiles? Yes, of the Gentiles also. Seeing it is one God, which shall justify the circumcision by faith and uncircumcision through faith. Do we then make void the law through faith? God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Romans 3:10-31.
Well, thank you, brother. And we lost Facebook again, but I got it back up again. So we're just having all kinds of difficulties tonight, but you know what?
Yep.
We're tenacious and,
yep.
You know, people are real good about figuring it out, and they're just jumping right back on. So we appreciate that. Welcome aboard,
yep.
Andre Barrow. Good to see you tonight. This particular part that you have just been reading, Brother Carl, is, again, the highlight of this is that we cannot give birth to ourselves. That's
right.
Just the bottom line. We have to be born again by the Spirit of God. And it is not our lineage. It's not the family we were born into. It's not our race. It's not our gender. It's unconditional election of God is what it is. And, of course, there's a lot of people out there that are purporting something different. Than that today. And but the key is that God told Nicodemus, he said, the Spirit bloweth where it listeth, and no man knoweth the sound thereof, so is everyone that is born of the Spirit of God. And so there's a distinction between those who have been born again and those who have not. The other thing I'd like to point out here is that None seek after God. There's none that seeketh. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after. They've all, and that includes us as well.
Yep.
God is the one who granted unto us his infinite grace, and it was by his blood that we were brought into the fold. And so, he is the one that gives the knowledge of sin to us. And so, anyway, that's pretty much all I want to say. We are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. So I'm going to turn it over to Brother Carl and have him make any remarks on this section, and then I'll have him start the next reading section.
Okay, Let's see here. verses 28 and 29, like you were saying before, Brother Larry, for he's not a Jew, which is one outwardly, neither is he that circumcision, which is outward in the flesh, but he's a Jew, which is one inwardly. And circumcision is that of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. So the Apostle Paul, bringing the gospel to the Gentiles, we're taught here by the Holy Spirit through him, that the spiritual Israel are those that are born again by the Spirit of God. And this is God's sovereign decree and sovereign choice. And we can, this is his work, and we can read this in Ezekiel chapter 11, verses 19 and 20. And it says, and I will give them. So God is doing this. And I will give them one heart. And I will put a new spirit within you. And I will take the stony heart out of their flesh and will give them a heart of flesh, that they may walk in my ordinances. They may walk in my statutes and keep my ordinances and do them. And they shall be my people. And I will be their God. And we're also told, like you were talking about there, Brother Larry, in John chapter 3, verses 5 through 8, where Christ talks to Nicodemus, and he says, that which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit. Verse 8, the wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the spirit. This is God's work. In chapter 3, verses 20 through 22, therefore by the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. For there is no difference. We're told here in verse 20 that, you know, just like we read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10, that salvation is not by works, you know, not by the deeds of the flesh, which is talking about keeping the law here. But it's God that justifies by his sovereign ability to choose for himself a people and call them to faith in Jesus Christ. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 10. We read, for by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Just reiterating, salvation is of the Lord, and that's what we're taught here. We're taught here about the spiritual Israel, that the body of Christ is made up of all men, Jew and Gentile, and that is the language of all men in New Testament Scripture. It's not every single person that's ever lived, but Jew and Gentile. And the ones called to faith and regenerated by the Holy Spirit of God, which is his divine decree before the world began. And that's it.
Okay. All right. Well, you know what? I think just for the sake of time tonight, we're going to not try to cover this whole chapter. It's just too much.
Yes.
What I want to do is I want to go down through. I'd like to try to, if we could, get through the golden chain of salvation. So what I'd like to do is read down to the last, next to the last paragraph on page 242. And so what I'm going to have you do, Carl, is read that for us, starting with the first paragraph in 236. And I know that's quite a bit of reading, but down to the 242 before it starts the last paragraph.
Yes, sir. All right, starting in on page 236 here. Yes, sir, it's a lot. I hope I'm not taking too long. It's just so much to...
No, it, so much that's here. Why I think we just had too much on our plate, and I think if we can get through the golden chain of salvation, I'll be happy.
Right. Yes, sir. We, you know, me and Babs were talking about that before we started tonight, how much was here, and we probably wouldn't get all the way through it. But, okay, for the sake of time, here we go. Starting on page 236. The subject of imputation is discussed by the Apostle Paul in chapter 4 regarding the fact that God would not impute the sins to his elect, and that his elect would be imputed the righteousness of Jesus Christ. Even as David also describeth the blessedness of the man unto whom God imputeth righteousness without works, saying, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven, and whose sins are covered, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness. Now it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered for our offenses and was raised again for our justification. Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin. Romans 4, 6 through 8 and 22 through 25. Most churches that uphold the free will doctrine deny original sin, which is clearly taught in the Bible. They say that man cannot be held responsible for the sin of Adam, that they can only be held responsible for their own actual sin. Lie and deny clearly revealed Scripture. Scripture also teaches that Christ brought eternal life to his people by his death on the cross, reconciling us to God. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only so, but we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope, and hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost which is given unto us. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, much more than being now justified by his blood. We shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed when there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned after the similitude of Adam's transgression, who was the figure of him that was to come. But not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive the abundance of grace and of the gift of the righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound, that if sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Romans 5, 1 through 21, 6, 23. Romans 8 has often been described as containing the golden chain of salvation, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own Son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died. Yea, rather, that is risen. Again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword? As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 8, 28 through 39. Is that it?
That's it. That's it.
Well, you know what? I'm not gonna try to cover all of this that Brother Carl just read, but on 236, where it says the subject of imputation is discussed by the Apostle Paul, we find this aspect of the imputation of Christ throughout the New Testament, not only discussed by Paul, but it's also discussed by Peter. It's also discussed by Christ himself. And I remember the first time I heard a sermon on substitution. You know, I was 37 years old before I heard a sermon on the substitutionary work of Christ. Can you believe that? And, of course, God's the one who ordained that, that it would be then. But I remember God used that sermon in a miraculous way. Because once we understand substitution, we can then begin to grasp imputed righteousness. Without Christ being our sin bearer, without him taking our sins upon himself, we're groping around in the dark, trusting in our own works. You know, but once we see that Jesus Christ was the perfect sacrifice, became the sin bearer for us, was our substitution, paid the ransom for us, then we can begin to grasp how we can be righteous through the righteousness of Christ. He who knew no sin became sin for us. And it says, blessed are they whose iniquities are forgiven and whose sins are covered. And so, like we say there, you know, most 95 or more percent of the churches uphold the free will of man, and they deny the doctrine of original sin, that, you know, Adam's sins were imputed to all of his race, okay? And like Adam, sin was imputed to all of his race, Christ's righteousness was imputed to all of his seed. And, of course, the seed of Christ is those, you know, when we talk about the bride of Christ, we must be very clear. That is a particular group of people. It's all men that he has died for. That's who the represented in that. And so the other thing I want to kind of point out is that this aspect of justification, we can never be justified. We could never be justified if there was never a sacrifice made. Many are not trusting in the sacrifice. They're trusting in something other than the sacrifice for their salvation. But that's why they cannot have justification. And then the other thing is, as it says that here, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. That's the one who paid the price. Eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And then just quickly on the golden chain of salvation, you know, you cannot separate out any of this chain. It's just like when we used to make chains out of construction paper in school. If you broke one length of the chain, the whole chain would probably break. And that's the way it is here. If you don't have foreknowledge, you're not going to have predestination. And if you don't have predestination, you're not going to have calling. And if you're not going to have calling, you're not going to have ultimate glorification. And the thing of it was all established before the foundation of the world. People say, you actually believe that you were eternally justified? In the mind of Christ, I believe that. Because we were given to God, the Father. We were given to the Son by the Father. We were given to the Son by the Father. For all for whom Christ died were given to him by the Father. Also, the aspect of eternal vital union, eternal justification, If it was already a foregone conclusion through his foreknowledge of us that we would be predestinated unto adoption, then our effectual calling was certain, that we would be effectually called by him. And so this is why I like the way it ends, because it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? In other words, there's no charges that can be laid to God's elect because he did all the work. And, you know, a lot of people, when you tell them that, their eyes kind of glaze over. But I'm going to repeat it. There's no way anyone can lay anything to the charge of God's elect because Jesus paid it all. You know, sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow. And when before the throne I stand in incomplete, he died my soul to save, my lips will still repeat, Jesus paid it all. So there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. And so that's really all I have tonight. I'm going to turn it over to Brother Mark and let him cover this, and then we'll have Brother Carl kind of complete this out this evening.
Thank you, Brother. You know, it's wonderful, the symmetry I see here on pages 239 and 240 about how one man plunged humanity into sin, and then how one man, Christ, rescued many from sin. It's amazing to me how the same way that we got into this mess is the same way that Christ gets us out of this mess. It's a beautiful thing. And on page 240, it's beautiful. For as by one man's disobedience, Adam, many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one man, Christ, shall many be made righteous. That isn't that amazing symmetry, how God pays such attention, how God is focused right down on the minute details of the situation. And the same way that Adam got us into this mess is the same way that Christ gets his elect out of this mess. That's awesome, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Okay, I thought I might have lost you. Yeah. Well, yeah, that is really, really very good. Very good. Well, I'll tell you what I want you to do, Brother Mark, I want you to, if you would, tell me a little bit about, if you can recall, because this is always interesting. I like to ask people this. Uh-huh. Do you remember the first time you read this golden chain of salvation? For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, and whom he predestinated, he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, he also glorified. Do you remember when that, can you recall the first time you heard that?
Oh, wow. It had to be over 20 years ago, time ago.
Yeah. You know, I can remember it, and it had a big effect on me, because I thought, wow. I mean, because you talk about symmetry, you talk about logic, you talk about logos.
Yeah.
I mean, and see, the Arminians will attack the whole chain of salvation on one word. And you know what that is? Foreknowledge.
What? Oh,
They figure if they can redefine foreknowledge and make it something that it isn't, it's an attack on the rest of the doctrine. And that's exactly what they do. They say that God looks down the pillars of time and saw who would choose him, and those are the ones he predestinated. That's not foreknowledge at all.
Yep. That's conditional. Yeah, exactly.
Foreknowledge is something more greater and deeper than looking down through the portals of history and see who's going to choose him. Foreknowledge is foreknowing. Foreknowing. He foreknew us. with an intimate knowledge of us, just like Adam knew Eve, his wife, okay? Christ knew us intimately. We were purchased in him. He was slain from the foundation of the world. The eternal covenant and the predestination unto adoption was part of his foreknowing us. He knew who he was going to adopt before he adopted us.
Oh,
and so anyway, so they attack the foreknowledge aspect of everything, and that really has a lot of people in a muddle because they don't understand, you know, well, if you just look down the portals of time, then it all has to do with the fact that I chose him. That's why he predestinated. They put the cart before the horse. Predestination comes before we choose Christ.
Amen.
Our new birth comes before we have faith, repentance, anything. Believing,
yep.
Conversion, anything. Everything comes with the quickening power of the Holy Spirit and the new birth. Any thoughts on that, Brother Mark, before I turn it over to Brother Carl?
Yes. That is a serious attack on the sovereignty of God to say that God looked down through time and sees what someone will do and on that condition elect them or reprobate them. That's a serious attack on the sovereignty of God. And that's not the way it is at all. What really happens is that God knows what's going to happen because he has decided in his sovereign will and ordained thus and so is going to happen because God decided that it's going to happen. So he knows not because he looks and sees, but because he decrees that such and such will happen.
Amen. Amen, brother. Well, Brother Carl, we're going to give you the last word on this. Go ahead, brother.
Okay, well, real quick here, I want to focus on this definition of foreknowledge, which you brothers just touched on. Okay, Romans 5:8, it totally destroys that argument by Arminians. It totally destroys it, and it shows that these idolaters, because that's what they are, and heretics, do not understand nor care to study out and search all things, whether they're true or not. Because what does it say here? It says, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were yet dead in sin and trespass, Christ died for us. So even if God looked down through the portals of time, what would he see? He would see dead sinners.
Yep.
That could do nothing. That could do nothing to save their self. Absolutely nothing.
Right.
All right. And you see, God's elect have always been vessels of mercy. You see, we were created as vessels of mercy, being given to the Son in the covenant between the triune Jehovah from before the world began. We've always been destined by God, by his grace and his sovereign choice, like we see here. While we were yet sins, Christ died for us. Okay, and this is God's work, you know. And what comes first, the giving of the Father or the coming to Christ? We're told all that the Father gives me shall come to me. So what comes first? The giving, all right? The giving comes first. That's the first action. We're given to the Father. We're given by the Father to the Son, and then we come to Christ. And this is a work of God. It's his work. And I just go in so much more. I want to go in so much more here. But, you know, we're told, you know, in Romans 6:23, real quick here, and I'll be quick. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. All right? Well, we're told in Ephesians 2, like we always read, and we all love this scripture here, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. You see, and we are saved by grace through faith. And through faith, this is the gift of God in verse 23 here. But the wages of sin is death. but the gift of God, which is the faith of Christ that he freely gives us by his sovereign decree, is eternal life. So,
amen.
I'll just close with saying I love all you guys, and thanks for the fellowship and peace if possible and truth at all costs by Martin Luther. Amen.
Well, we love you too, and love Brother Mark, love Brother Carl, love Babs and Mark Phillips and Rosette Phillips, and I love Tulip even. Anyway, don't bring my dog into this, right? Anyway. I think we have taken a little bit too much on our plate tonight. We felt kind of rushed, but next time we'll slow down a little bit, and we'll try to cover a little less territory and more depth, because I think people really want in-depth Bible study and not just glazing over the top, so to speak. So, I really do appreciate everything that has been said tonight in regards to this glorious work of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, and of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and their perfect covenant between the three. I want to just make a quick announcement. Tomorrow night, I guess the question is, are you guys still planning on doing the fellowship call?
Yes.
Good.
Yes, indeed.
Good deal. Well, I'm looking forward to trying to stay in the corner and not dominate the conversation and let you guys share with everyone that comes on. And hopefully we won't have the problems of streaming tomorrow like we've had this evening. Also, we will be having our services Sunday morning and Sunday evening. And then Monday, I haven't come up with a topic yet, and Brother Ed hasn't sent me a topic yet, so we're still open for a topic, upcoming topic for Monday night. So with that, appreciate everything that's been said tonight. May the good Lord be with all of our guests that have joined us. Sorry again for the streaming problems, but it was all foreordained by God for a purpose. With that, I'm going to say good night, and God bless, and we'll see you tomorrow evening.
God bless. Love you.
Love you too, Brother Mark. Good night.
A lot of challenges tonight in this streaming thing.